talked in the first message about Habakkuk, about a vision. Many of you have not conceived your vision because you only thought about it, but you never said something like this as an act of my will, be it done to me according to your word. What you're speaking
to
me.
That's right. I want to receive this vision according to your name, Father God.
I want to conceive this vision here. And until I believe we do that, we give recognition to what God wants to do in our lives. There is no spiritual conception. Mm-hmm. There was here with Mary.
Yes.
And she said, well, be it done to me according to your word. In other words, I receive what you're saying. And let's let it happen. I mean, we could say it in street language. Well, let's get on with it. Mm-hmm. She was saying, okay, I'm with it. I'm on the same page here. Let's go for it. Well, many people have an idea, and I believe some of them have been giving visions and dreams and ideas from the Lord, but they never say, okay, at this point I received that. Now let's go. Let's let it happen. Mm-hmm. Lord, Holy Spirit, make it happen in my life. Now it's up to you. I've received what you're saying. Many people do not know that, and some of this is because of our reticence and our ignorance of the spirit world. We get so freaked out as people when something extraordinary or supernatural happens. We need to know that spirit world is our realm. We need to operate there, have dominion there, and to have some understanding of that.
We are so used to, as a society, have everything in order, and the tradition of man is such a deterrent to supernatural things. Once in a while, Darren, we're going to find in our lives things that we cannot explain. We cannot explain by any kind of learned intelligence or educated mindsets. If they are things that are going to happen that only God can explain in our lives, we cannot explain them. And those are the times I have seen in my own life, and I know you have, Darren, those times that I couldn't explain, those are the times that really have helped me to turn a corner or to begin to see a vision in my life, a spiritual vision. You're right. We should not be afraid of those things at all.
And you know, Satan works against all of us through one of three things, or all three of these: fear, doubt, and unbelief.
Unbelief, yes.
And Zacharias expressed unbelief. Mm-hmm. And here he and his wife have been praying for a child. And
That's
then
right.
the angel
were...
comes and says, you know, you're going to have a baby. And he says, you know, and it might have said, well, fat chance. You know, here I'm an old man.
They were both from the tribe of, the priestly tribe of Aaron. And so I'm sure they wanted a name to carry on this tradition that had come down through hundreds and hundreds of years. Well, they got a non-traditionalist in John.
They sure did.
And over in Luke 3, John is preaching to the people a brand new covenant. He says, repent, repent, repent. And he says in verse 16 of chapter 3, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He's speaking of Jesus, his cousin, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's wonderful. What a great promise to know that even here, God was teaching them that when Jesus comes, he is going to baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. And today we have that baptism of Holy Spirit. And then we see in the 21st verse, when Jesus is baptized as a young man.
Now wait just a minute. I want to go back to verse 16 here.
Okay.
Went over that rather quickly. It says, Jesus answered and said to them all.
Well, John answered.
John answered and said to them, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one who is coming is mightier than I. I am not fit to untie the thongs of his sandals.
Mm.
Now, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Now, where do you think he got this? Probably some of it from his mother Elizabeth, because when she found out Mary was pregnant, I'm sure the Holy Spirit had told her that this is the Holy One, the Messiah that they had looked for. But I believe also in the wilderness, as John was growing up, Holy Spirit was a constant companion of his, teaching him.
Well, he was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb.
That's right. So he was learning all his young
life. So the Holy Spirit was his mentor.
Yes.
And by the way, one of the reasons why we're doing this series of messages is to tell you that Holy Spirit can be your mentor. If you go to him in the name of Jesus, you can ask him questions. He can be your teacher, your guide, your friend, your instructor.
Mm-hmm.
He can detail things for you that you couldn't get any other way.
That's right. And he's done that for us.
Yes.
He really has. In those times that we've really gone and asked him, he has answered questions for us.
You know, I think about some things, Barbara, that I haven't learned from any other ministry. I didn't learn
That's
from
right.
reading any other book except the Bible.
That's right.
And I've gone to Holy Spirit and I've pestered him and I've said, now, how does this work? How does this work? How does this, what happens? What are the ways of God? Why do you do it this way? How do I need to pray? How can I press on this door? Will you open this door for me in the spirit world? And you know, Barbara, many times he's shown me things, and I think about the teaching of hand washing. Now, I realize that in Scripture, Pilate did that, and it says in the Bible to have clean hands and a pure heart.
That's right.
Okay, but to say to someone, did you ever do a ceremony, really, of washing your hands of something in the past? I never saw that growing up, but one time I was in a pickle. I was up against a potential lawsuit, a horrendous lawsuit of over $1 million. And I said, Holy Spirit, I don't have the money to defend myself. I'm an innocent man, but if they drag me into court, I'm in duck soup, you know, say it that way. And Holy Spirit taught me, he said, you go into the bathroom and wash your hands three times, push that thing away from you, and you won't get sued.
That's right.
Well, we've taught that to people, done that in meetings, but that's something Holy Spirit taught me directly. I wouldn't trade that for anything.
And some of you might be a little skeptical and say, well, what does going into the bathroom and washing your hands got to do with anything? I mean, that's not going to do anything for you. But we see here, Darren, why did Jesus walk into this Jordan River, into the water,
right.
and allow John to baptize him? There is something significant in this practical application of water. And when we run water over ourselves, when we're baptized and immersed in water, something happens. Unexplainable, but it's wonderful what happens.
Well, but he not only just allowed John to do that, he insisted.
That's true.
Because John at first says, in essence, I'm unworthy to baptize you, and he said, but you must. Because there was a water baptism before the spiritual baptism could come to him.
That's right. And when Jesus was baptized, it says in verse 21, while he was praying, heaven was opened. Now, this is Jesus praying. He was in the water absolutely praising God for this experience, this application, this spiritual application that was going on. And Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form. Now, a lot of people say Holy Spirit isn't a dove. But something happened here, Darren. There was a bodily manifestation of Holy Spirit on Jesus'
life. Well, what would you say if something came out of the sky
and,
you know,
plopped
and
on
descended
you.
on you? I mean, what flies anyway that we can see?
Yes.
What flies in those days?
Well,
Only birds.
Birds, that's right. And it's an image of a bird. It may not be have been a dove. I believe doves are beautiful. It must have been white because the doves are basically white birds. So whatever it was came down, flew down in a white form. And this is what Luke is explaining here. And Dr. Luke here, I love the book of Luke because he was a doctor, Darren, and he was a detail man. He wrote down great details where maybe Matthew or Mark missed them. And Luke here is very detailed.
Nice.
And he,
you see, if I was a scribe in those days, I'd just give the facts.
I know you would.
Being a cleric personality, I'd say, well, this happened, that happened. Now, here's a man that gives some details,
yes.
gives some color.
He says it happened in bodily form. So we know what Holy Spirit did, came down and touched Jesus in bodily form. And Darren, don't you believe we can ask for that today? Holy Spirit coming in bodily form upon us to anoint us and to show us and instruct us what we should do.
Well, I would like to ask all the ministers that call themselves ministers and representatives of the Most High God, what did John mean over here in John chapter 3, verse 16? He said, I baptize in water, but there's one coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Mm.
Now, fire here is talking about power.
That's right.
And evidently, a lot of our ministerial friends and a lot of our lay people that we know missed the second part of that verse because they don't have very much power in their lives. In fact, they're getting beat up by the devil and they seem to be defenseless. But over here, when this dove, this like a dove, I agree with many of the teachers said it wasn't a dove. Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person of the Godhead. But he came down. That's what it appeared, you know, when there was an appearance in the natural here, something was going on. But then a voice came out of heaven and said, Thou art my beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased.
Oh, hallelujah. He filled everything that God had expected him to fill. Jesus filled it. Hallelujah.
Well, then it goes, now he's equipped. Now, this is kind of interesting. He didn't start ministry and one day realize he was short and go back to his father and say, you know, I didn't get everything I ought to have here. Things aren't working out too well.
Mm-hmm.
Father God